And now for something completely different.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Let's do it.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. With you on a throwback Thursday with plenty to do over the next couple of hours. Coming up, are some of the hitters in Major League Baseball actually pushing back on this idea of pitchers cheating? Plus, what Nikola Jokic winning the MVP in the NBA tells us about sports and maybe life as well. Clemson's sales pitch to Arch Manning, who could dominate college basketball for the next decade. Where Clemson and South Carolina stack up in their conferences in college basketball. Plus, the fattest Major League Baseball fans, the most hated NBA players. Deshaun Watson is putting out feelers trying to wind up the different team. We got our wrestling wrap-up. We have our weekly chat with a member of the Charleston Battery. It's a Thursday, so I'm sure we'll reminisce along the way. The Citadel rebranded. They have new logos. Got a lot to get to over the next couple of hours. With you till 3 on this Thursday, you can join the conversation throughout. 843-721-9500 to give us a call. You can always text the show. 843-608-1734. You can get to us on Twitter, at Morrow Middays. On Facebook, at ESPN Charleston. Via email, studio@kirkmanbroadcasting.com. Or online at charlestonsportsradio.com, your one-stop shop. We're there, you can find our show page and leave a comment for the show right there. Listen to the latest versions of the show podcasted right there. Or take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go by simply streaming us right there at charlestonsportsradio.com, and you can listen worldwide. We also have some Charleston River Dogs tickets to give away throughout the afternoon as well. Plenty to do with you till 3 on this Thursday. Joe's on the steel wheels. Joe, what's going on? How are you?
Oh, Friday Eve is going quite well so far. The Citadel has new logos.
That's right. Have you seen them?
No, I have not.
Okay, well, you better Google. We'll get into this a little bit later on.
Hopefully they're better than my alma mater. I mean, College of Charleston, when they came out with the newest one with just that C with Charleston written through it, it's like...
Not a fan?
It's like, I was like Dr. Evil. It was just like, right.
Well, we'll see what you think about the Citadel, because I got to tell you, we don't like change as people. Or really, as I always say, it's not so much that we don't like the change. We just don't like going through it. It's not the change itself. You always hate something new, and then you do it, and you realize, like, oh, that wasn't so bad. We're just too lazy. It's not like we hate change. We're just too lazy to go through change. In this case, it doesn't deal with us so much or your laziness, but I got to say, the Citadel rebrand did not go over all that what you're always going to have your haters. But there's plenty of them on social media. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. I'll let you know what I think. We'll get Joe's thoughts. Maybe read through some of the comments online of the people very unhappy with the new rebrand. You know, whenever you put something out like that, right, a lot of people are going to complain. A lot of people like it. A lot of people won't. You can't make everyone happy. But we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Let me start with this, because we've been all over this issue in Major League Baseball where these pitchers are cheating, right? They're using certain substances to, as they say, get a better grip on the baseball. But what it also does is increase the spin rate, make it harder to hit. Batting average is at an all-time low. The pitchers get a real advantage off of this. In fact, from Trevor Bauer himself, who is right at the forefront of all of this, he has said that this will have a bigger impact on the game than the steroid use ever did. And yet, we got a little bit of a twist yesterday, right? We got an M. Night Shyamalan twist. You're watching the movie. You had no idea this was coming. You figured all the hitters would be against this idea of pitchers gaining any sort of advantage. We've played audio from Nick Castellanos. Josh Donaldson's another who has called out specific players, such as Garrett Cole. A lot of hitters are upset, but not all hitters, including Peter Alonso of the New York Mets. Now, Alonso was talking about this with the media yesterday. He had a different take on the whole thing. And even though he's a batter, right, and the pitchers are gaining advantage on him, his biggest fear, his biggest concern isn't so much with what the pitchers are doing on the mound. Here was Alonso yesterday.
I don't want 99 slipping out of someone's hand because they didn't have enough feel for it. I think that the biggest concern is that Major League Baseball manipulates the baseballs year in and year out, depending on the free agency class or guys being in an advanced part of their arbitration. So I do think that's a big issue now that we're back to playing a regular season with a ton of shortstops or position players that are owed, going to be paid a lot of money, like high caliber players. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's not a coincidence. And I think that if it definitely is something that they do.
Peter Alonso yesterday with quite the big claim. He was saying, I don't care so much about the pitchers and what they do. The bigger deal is what the league is doing with the baseball. And as he believes, his theory is that they alter the baseballs depending on what the free agent market looks like. Because we know Major League Baseball has been playing around with their baseballs these last couple of years. Right, so Pete Alonso figures, well, if there's a lot of pitchers set to hit the open market, let's make the baseball fly out of the ballparks so that we won't have to pay those pitchers a whole lot. And then when there's going to be a bunch of hitters hitting the opening market, which I guess is this year, after this season, this upcoming free agent class I guess will be heavy with hitters. Right, Peter Alonso believes that that's why baseball has adjusted the balls this year so they can't fly out of the ballpark. So they won't have to pay the players very much, the position players. Their numbers are all going to be down, and then it's going to hurt their value when they hit free agency this offseason. This is quite the conspiracy theory from Peter Alonso. Put your tinfoil hat on. I think, if anything, it could be a bit of a coincidence. We know home runs have been an issue in Major League Baseball, and while I'm not a big fan of Rob Manfred and the way Major League Baseball has handled really most things in recent years, I don't think they're as conniving or as sly to be able to pull this timing off, that they adjust the baseballs the year that the pitchers are going to be free agents, and now they adjust them when the hitters. We knew home run was an issue. Now, Major League Baseball is trying to curb the amount of home runs. They want more balls put into play. And you always have to consider the source when you get any sort of quote information, when you get a leak, right? Why is this information coming out? Why does this person feel this way? In the case of Peter Alonso, he'll be arbitration eligible next year. He's an offensive player who hits a lot of home runs. So I can understand where Alonso's coming from. Look, he strikes out a lot anyways. He averages a strikeout more than once per game. He's a home run hitter. He's a typical home run hitter. Career 250 hitter. Mashes homers. Strikes out a bunch. That's what he does. So now when you hear that, well, the ball's not flying out of the ballpark as easily. Right? He hit 53 home runs as a rookie in 2019. He has 10 this year. He had 16 in the shortened season a year ago. So for a guy like that, I could see where maybe he's a little bitter. It develops a chip on his shoulder. Because what's his game? Hitting home runs. That's all. He's not a singles hitter. Not even a doubles hitter. He's going to strike out a bunch. He won't hit for average. He'll hit a lot of home runs. And when you tell him, hey, we adjusted the baseball so that it won't fly out of the ballpark so easily, of course he won't like that. Of course he'll be upset about that. And especially on top of it, when he himself will be arbitration eligible next year and believes, hey, this is costing me money. I'm a home run hitter. I'm not hitting home runs as easily. And then that's when you develop some of these maybe conspiracy theories. This is all part of Major League Baseball's plan. Yes, it's true. Major League Baseball, their owners, you know, do like to try to suppress the open market. But I don't think they would go this far. Because if this was ever discovered, that Major League Baseball was intentionally doing this to try to make it so they would have to pay these guys less, you're talking about a serious issue. And for as crooked as some of these leagues can be and as backwards as Rob Manfred can be, I don't think that is something Major League Baseball was actually thinking about. Like, hey, this year we have a lot of hitters that are going to be free agents. Let's adjust the baseball so that they don't hit so well. I don't think they're going that far. And by the way, while maybe in general, overall, the contracts aren't what they once were in baseball, but when you want to talk about, well, you know, we had a lot of pitchers hit the open market, we had to adjust the baseball, allow a lot of home runs, it didn't stop Gerrit Cole from getting $300 million. And then it did not stop Trevor Bauer from topping him and getting the largest contract we've ever seen. Or even guys like Fernando Tatis Jr. getting a big contract this year. Right? Money is still being issued. Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, these guys, the top-line players, are still they're getting bigger contracts than we've ever seen before. So maybe not as much money is being handed out, but it's not like baseball is refusing to open the checkbook. Guys are still getting paid. In fact, getting paid more than we've ever seen before. But Peter Alonso, with this quote yesterday, shows, and he's not the only one, right, that while a lot of batters are upset with what pitchers are doing, not everyone is in the same camp. Not all of the hitters in Major League Baseball are aligned. And that's where it could create a problem, not only in fighting against what the pitchers are doing, but also in terms of when it comes to the CBA, which is up after this season. You have some hitters in those locker rooms believing that Major League Baseball is manipulating the baseballs just to keep them from making more money. And we know that Major League Baseball is the one sport in the history of sports that have had the most contentious negotiations between the players' union and the league, Major League Baseball, the offices of MLB when it comes to these CBAs. And now this story's popping up where players believe that Major League Baseball is fixing the balls to try to hold them back from making money. And that will lead into a CBA negotiation this offseason. If this picks up steam, if a lot of people feel this way, it could lead to a very contentious offseason, another fighting point between these two sides, where players are going to be sitting there, or at least their representatives at the union, right, pounding on the table for this, thinking that the league is trying to keep them from making their money by fixing the baseballs every year. I'm not a fan of Rob Manfred, but I do actually buy that the only reason why they adjusted the baseballs was because too many home runs were being hit, not because they want to try to keep some big-time free agents from getting big paydays after this season. I don't think Major League Baseball would go that far. But Peter Alonso, of course, is not alone. Also, when you consider the source, consider that he has the best pitcher in the game on his side in Jacob DeGrom. Now, DeGrom's spin rate really hasn't jumped up a whole lot the last couple of years, like your Trevor Bowers, your Garrett Coles, or Justin Verlander's. But whenever you have the success that DeGrom is having, pitching to about a half ERA, a half run, earned run average, people, of course, with all this other stuff going on, will question how legitimate DeGrom is. So, you may wonder, is Peter Alonso trying to cover, right, his own backside, his own team? He's a hitter. He would love to be able to hit better, but also he understands that the Mets, their bread is buttered by the pitching staff, which has the best ERA in the league. And maybe they're doing something they're hiding themselves. It goes back to the Houston Astros when the Astros got caught cheating in 2018, and you could tell which teams also had some skeletons in their closet by the players who spoke out and said, like, ah, it's not that big of a deal. Yeah, they shouldn't be punished. It's okay. Right? But for the guys, the teams that came down and said it was a big deal, the Astros should give up their rings, they should be suspended, it's a joke, they made a mockery of the game, they cost us money. The guys that were really outspoken, you knew they weren't hiding anything in their locker rooms. I won't go that far and accuse Jacob DeGrom of anything or Peter Alonso for covering for his teammate. But if you want to talk conspiracy theories, that could be another. Is there a reason why a player on the Mets would be for the use of substance? Well, the Mets do have, statistically, the best pitching staff in the league. And we know, we believe, we don't know, we believe that 80 to 90%, that's the estimate, 80 to 90% of pitchers are using some sort of substance on the mound to increase spin rate. Right? Is there a correlation between that and the Mets' success? We'll get to a clip from Buck Showalter in just a moment, but Alonso is not alone in this idea and this thought process. Maybe not so much the conspiracy theory of the league intentionally trying to hold players back, but that this isn't such a big concern. In fact, Buck Showalter, a longtime manager, was on New York radio yesterday, and he works for the Yankees now, covering the league, but of course, you know, manage the Yankees, the Diamondbacks, the Orioles. Buck Showalter had this to say yesterday, as he, too, isn't so much against the pitchers and the use of substance.
You know, I've got my personal feelings about the whole thing. What I'd really like to see tonight is Josh Donaldson go to home plate and hit without batting gloves or pine tar tonight.
That'd be nice.
You know,
right.
if he really wants to prove a point, go up there and not be able to grip the bat tonight.
Well, if you do think Garrett Cole is going to send a purpose pitch Donaldson's way, Buck?
No. You know, the purpose he's going to do is try to get him out. That's the purpose that Garrett will go out there with, so his team can win the game.
Garrett Cole did not use a purpose pitch last night. He faced Josh Donaldson for the first time since Donaldson called out Garrett Cole as a cheater. We played the press conference clip yesterday of Garrett Cole stammering his way through a question about the substances he uses. Instead, he struck out Josh Donaldson twice. That's the ultimate get back. That's the ultimate revenge. But in terms of what Buck Showalter said about this whole idea of gripping the baseball, pitchers have been using something to be able to grip the baseball for years. The problem is they've taken it too far now. Right, that's the big difference. That's why we see spin rates at an all-time high. We have data to back this up, and I hear this as a common rhetoric or a common response. that, oh, well, I mean, the pitchers need grip. Peter Alonso said it as well. I don't want them hitting me at 99 miles per hour. Yeah, they can get a good grip on the baseball and not use the spider tech. We're seeing that spin rates are at an all-time high, batting average is at an all-time low, and we know those two things are connected. And it's because of what they're using on the mound. Guys have been using substances for years, but they never used this. They never got this effect. Right? It's like when you drive. When you drive around town, the speed limit may be 40. You know, you could do a little more than 40. Cops, most cops won't pull you over. You do 45 and a 40, you're fine. You do 48 even, right? You get up to 55, okay, they may stop you. Using the rosin and sunscreen in years past is like going 45 in a 40. Yeah, you're doing something that technically you shouldn't, but, you know, we let it slide. It's okay. It's not a big deal. But once you start using the spider tech now that increases spin rate at an all-time high, that's like going 80 in the 40. Right now you're getting pulled over. You want to be that brash. You want to ignore the rules, the laws, that much. You want to openly defy things. That obviously, right? It's a town road, 40 miles per hour, you're flying 80. Just like here where we know you shouldn't be using this stuff. Guys are openly doing it, touching their glove, putting something on the baseball, getting this great spin rate, striking out a bunch of dudes, batting average at an all-time low. So you're pushing it too far. And in regards to Buck Showalter and Peter Alonso, everybody that says, well, it's just to get grip. Guys are throwing harder than ever before. You don't want them to be hitting people in the head. No, you don't. But guess what? That holds no water either. Because you know what year is on pace to set the record for the highest hit-by-pitch percentage? Oh, that would be this season. And you know what year currently holds the record? Oh, that would be 2019. So miss me with your garbage about pitchers doing this to get a better grip on the baseball. Because if that's the case, it's still not working. In 2019, we had the highest percentage of hit batters, and they're on pace to break that this year. More hitters are getting hit than ever before. So don't tell me that this is all to get a better control of the ball so that batters don't get hit, because that's not happening either. We have plenty of data to back this up. Look to the numbers. Spin rates are at an all-time high, directly correlated to using these substances. Hit by pitches are at an all-time high. So it's not just for grip. And batting average is at an all-time low, which shows the impact this stuff has. But it is interesting that not all batters feel that way, and now Peter Alonso is floating out this theory that this is all done by the league to hold them down. And if that's a common thought throughout the league, things could get very interesting this offseason leading up to the CBA if players believe the league is doing certain things to keep them from making as much money as they can. Coming up, Nikola Jokic was named the NBA MVP. What I think it means for all sports, and maybe life as well. It's the Moore Midday Show, right here on ESPN Radio.
It's Throwback Thursday.
What's today?
It's Thursday.
Really? Feels like Tuesday.
Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Coming up, Nikola Jokic was named the NBA MVP. What I think it means for all sports. Plus, Clemson's recruiting pitch for Arch Manning. We'll get to that as well. It's the Moore Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Got a couple of blood drives coming up tomorrow at Cruise Subaru, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. All donors receive a complimentary certificate for $35, good for auto services, parts, and accessories at Cruise Subaru. Appointments are preferred. They do welcome walk-ins. But you can register online at redcrossblood.org and use the sponsor code CRUISE to make your appointment to give blood and save a life at Cruise Subaru tomorrow. And if you can't make it tomorrow, don't worry, you have more opportunities. Next Monday and Tuesday at Cruz Chevy from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can make your appointment at redcrossblood.org using that sponsor code CRUZ as well. All donors next week will receive a complimentary certificate for an oil and filter change, tire rotation, and more. So plenty of opportunities. The next 3 weekdays, there'll be some blood drives going on at CRUZ in North Charleston. So check that out if you can. Save a life, give blood. The American Red Cross blood drives over at CRUZ. You can always join the conversation, 843-721-9500. I want to get into the Jokic stuff. Not so much, I'm not going to sit here and debate the NBA MVP, but I think there's a message in that the winner of that award. Plus, Clemson's sales pitch to Arch Manning, a name we'll be hearing a lot about over the next couple of months. But first, let's go to the phones because Super Dave is with us. Dave, what's going on? How are you?
All right, Mr. Luke, how you doing?
I'm doing well. What's up?
My deal is with the Major League. I mean, is it going to become like NASCAR? How are they going to do search and seizures for illegal contrabands like the military? So how are they going to control the illegal substances for baseballs and all this?
It will be like that. They'll have the umpires check the pitchers. They believe 8 to 10 times a game, whether it's coming off the field after an inning, when they come out of the bullpen onto the mound. And here's what's interesting is what Major League Baseball has done this year. They've spent the first 2 months of this season doing an investigation to not only see how many pitchers are doing this, but they also are going to give scouting reports to the umpires for every series. So, for example, they'll say, you know, Trevor Bauer is pitching tonight. He is known to use this substance and keep it on his glove. So look for that. And that's what the umpires will know to look for specifically. They'll know where to look and what to look for.
Sunscreen?
The classic one over the years has always been the combination of rosin and sunscreen. But now it's become this, it's almost like a glue. It's this different substance that allows them to stick their hands more onto the baseball.
Well, if they want to look like crispy critters, the major leagues could not have to illegal sunscreen even to be have or own because of the abuse of the product.
You know, it's hard for a sport that's played outdoors to ban sunscreen, so that will still be allowed.
Don't they ask for it when they use it for something else than what it's supposed to be used for?
Well, the idea is just to limit the other substances that have taken this thing too far. Sunscreen, there's not much you can do about it if you put it on your body and whatnot. Another common one is pitchers will put gel in their hair and then, you know, run their hand through their hair to get some gel on their fingers. There's not a whole lot you can do about that.
I guess you could fine them, right? In case
if they get caught, they'll be suspended.
For a purpose?
If they get caught, they'll be suspended for 10 games and not suspended without pay for 10 games.
Take that money out of their pocketbook.
Yes, exactly.
There you go. That would work. Take their dinner money away or McDonald's money. I bet they quit real fast.
Well, I don't know how many of them are eating at McDonald's these days, but yeah. I think they can afford maybe the Sizzler more than McDonald's. Hey, we did a top 10 list last week of the top 10 sitcoms. And then somebody asked what your top 10 sitcoms would be. What is Super Dave's number one sitcom of all time?
Now, I like Urkel.
Oh, okay. So Family Matters.
Family Matters.
That'd be number one on your list?
Yeah.
That's your favorite sitcom?
And there's another one. Another little kid starred in the CBS. What was the name of that?
I don't know. What?
It was funny.
Two and a Half Men?
He had a weird laugh. I mean, I can't remember that name of that one. That would be number two.
Okay. Well, if you remember the name of that one, you can call back and let Joe know. But there you go. Family Matters. I didn't think Super Dave was going to go in that direction of the best sitcom of all time, Family Matters, on a Throwback Thursday. Gave my top 10 list last week. I don't think we even mentioned Family Matters.
No, we didn't.
Yeah.
So if they can get Dave's attention, would Urkel end up saying, can I do that?
That's right. I also don't think, I don't know if we mentioned Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That's another one I always put in that same, I always think of that with Family Matters. That's another classic. That's a great one. There's a few I've thought of since then. Oh, Grounded for Life is another one. It was only on for like 3 seasons, early 2000s. I loved that show back in the day.
I almost forgot about that one. That one was good.
Yeah, that's a great show.
Yeah. Another one was called Still Standing, and we mentioned it because of Jamie Gertz the other day.
That's right.
She was on it, and of course, the parents were bigger kids than the kids were.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen that one. And I don't know what CBS show with the child with a funny laugh Dave was referring to. Before the funny laugh, I would have thought 2 1/2 Men. That was on CBS with the son. But I don't know. So, Super Dave, if you can think of it, you can let us know. 843-721-9500 to always join the conversation. We'll get to the Jokic stuff in just a moment. But we talked about Arch Manning earlier this week. Made his first official visit. Spent it with Clemson this past weekend. And is going to make more visits now this weekend and the following weeks here in June with recruiting opening back up. And at the time, we talked about Clemson's sales pitch, what they could offer, how they could stack up to other teams. Because everyone's going to be after Arch Manning. But I found this interesting. This could be the sales pitch. Chris Hummer of 24/7 Sports put together this data. After Nick Saban signed his contract extension, Hummer went and looked since Saban was hired at Alabama to see how good of a job Alabama has done developing five-star talent. So he looked and looked at all the five stars these schools recruited, and then the percentage of those five stars that were drafted, and then the percentage of those five stars were drafted in the first round. And he put this whole list together. And I love data like this. But I found it very interesting. Of course, Alabama is number one. They've had the most five-star recruits by almost twice as many. And they've put almost half of those five-star recruits in the first round. Only 18% of five-star recruits actually get drafted in the first round. But for Alabama, their percentage is at 49. They do a much better job than any other school putting five-star kids into the first round. That could be their sales pitch to Arch Manning. You figure that a talent as good as Arch Manning, no matter where he goes, if he is as good as advertised, he'll become not only a drafted quarterback, but a first-round draft pick. However, still, not all five-star recruits work out or get drafted in the first round. I just gave you the number. Since 2008, only 18% of them actually get drafted in the first round. But if you're Alabama, you're saying, hey, normally, right, only one out of five-star recruits get drafted in the first round. But if you come to Alabama, we put half of ours in the first round. You have a 50% chance. That's quite the sales pitch for Saban and the Crimson Tide. But Clemson isn't far behind. Clemson is second on this list, in fact. Actually, they're first on the list when you look at percentage of five stars drafted. They're second in terms of the percentage of five stars they have put in the first round. But since Dabo Swinney has taken over, Clemson has had 92% of their five-star recruits drafted. It's the highest in college football. Alabama is second. They're at 76%. And the rest of college football is at 60%. So college football is 60%. Alabama's 76, Clemson's 92% of their five-star recruits drafted in the first round. Or pardon me, drafted in general. So my point in all this being, Alabama and Clemson, it's no surprise, they're the two schools that do the best job in developing five-star recruits. So when you sit down with Arch Manning, a five-star recruit, the number one quarterback in his class, and you look at all these other schools, and yeah, sure, they got a bunch of talent, and they put some guys in the NFL, and hey, if you go play for Ohio State, you go play for LSU, you go play for Florida, right, of course, if you're good enough, they'll obviously put you in the NFL as well. Right, but you show those numbers. Hey, here's what everyone else is doing. Here's what we're doing. The rest of college football, they put less than 20% of their five-star recruits in the first round. Here at Alabama, we put half. And if you're Dabo Swinney and Clemson, you show them, hey, you know, only 60% of five-star recruits even get drafted. Here at Clemson, it's over 90%. It's almost a guarantee that if you come here as a five-star recruit, you're turning into an NFL player. And not only that, but you look at Deshaun Watson. We'll see about Trevor Lawrence. We'll see what happens with DJ. But you show these quarterbacks that you get and how well you can develop them. Then not only are you putting them into the NFL, but they are first-round picks, and then they have good NFL careers. And it's something that Clemson does better than anyone. They do a better job putting five-star recruits, developing them into NFL talents, and placing them in the NFL. Clemson does it better than anyone. Other takeaways from this data, and you can find it online, 24/7 Sports. Texas. And this is all from since 2008. You want to know why Texas has struggled? They have put only 7% of their five-star recruits in the first round of the NFL draft. Only 28% of them drafted, period. They're towards the bottom of the top recruiting schools. Right? So they get good talent, but they can't develop it. They can't even turn them into NFL players. They would be what we call busts at the NFL level. right? They come to Texas as these highly recruited kids. They don't pan out. It's either a bad philosophy in recruiting, that they're not getting the right five stars, right? They're getting kids. Maybe it's issues off the field, why they don't work out. Or, most likely, a poor job done by the coaching staff. And the other thing that stood out to me was Florida. Florida is third on this list. And yet they haven't accomplished as much as the other teams. They're third on the list in terms of developing five-star talent. Florida is, right behind Alabama and Clemson, and ahead of Ohio State, LSU, Georgia. And yet Florida does not have the same record or success since 2008 like those other programs. And we've talked about this before with Will Muschamp. That was his big issue at Florida about a decade ago. Got great talent in there, couldn't develop it. And while Dan Mullen has put a lot of guys in the NFL, he had three first-round draft picks. He had a second-round draft pick this past year. Right, Dan Mullen's done a good job at Florida producing that talent. But when it comes to winning games during the college football season, still coming up short. Whether it's one of his kids throwing a cleat against LSU. Right, it's been one thing or another keeping Florida back. They get plenty of talent. They don't turn it into enough wins. And those are my takeaways from looking at this data. Right, it's clear to see why Texas hasn't been the same program. Florida has produced plenty of talent, but not enough wins. And Alabama and Clemson have been the best at developing good talent into the NFL. And if you sit down with an Arch Manning and everyone's after him, you show him this data and say, hey, yeah, sure, you could go there and be a five-star and have a good career. But if you come to, for example, Clemson, you have almost 100% guarantee you're going to the NFL. We'll develop you because that's what we've done better than anybody else. When it comes to Arch Manning, Max Kellerman was actually talking about this on First Take on ESPN yesterday about Arch Manning, what it could take for him to actually be the best of the Manning family, because these are the expectations. Here's what Kellerman said about Arch.
He'd have to have the like elusivity and talent of Grandpa. He'd have to have the excellence of Peyton and the clutch ability of Eli. Peyton Manning is like the most excellent player who ever lived until it mattered most. Then Eli was the best, right? He may have all of that in him. He doesn't have to be the best at each category. Just mix it all up in there.
Get the if you get the athleticism of Archie and the skills of Peyton and the clutch gene of Eli, at least in the playoffs, then you're probably the greatest quarterback of all time. Peyton had the brains. He just couldn't always win the big games. Eli was good in big moments but turned the football over too much. Archie was the most athletic but was on some bad teams and wasn't quite as talented as his two sons. And if Arch Manning could get some sort of combination of all three, if he could be like Peyton except athletic, he will become the best quarterback in the Manning family. But at age 16, it may be a little too premature to have that conversation and put those expectations on him. The race is on to try to get Arch Manning. Clemson and Alabama can make very strong cases. Coming up, I teased this earlier. Nikola Jokic named the NBA MVP. That's a lot of letters. Try saying that five times fast. The MVP of the NBA. What I think it means for all sports. We'll get to that. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Nikola Jokic was named the NBA's MVP, what I think it means for all sports. It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Got some River Dog tickets to give away later on today. They have their Thirsty Thursday tonight, so it's a big night. Full capacity, should be a nice night, cheap beers, good baseball. We'll be giving away some tickets a little bit later on. Got my River Dogs hat on again. So Nikola Jokic was named the NBA's MVP this week, and I have no issue with it. Joel Embiid was my MVP before his injury. I think you can make a strong case for Chris Paul, and I think this postseason has showed so far that Chris Paul is actually more valuable than Jokic. It's why I think they should wait in the NBA until after the postseason to give the award out. But I was thinking about this yesterday, actually during my drive home. I did not come up with this phrase, but I always loved this piece of advice. If you have a fun job, be serious, right? Like Jerry Seinfeld, Bill Maher, Stephen Colbert, comedians that are a little more serious. But if you have a serious job, be fun. Maybe like, you know, President Obama, Richard Branson, Elon Musk. So the NBA has moved to all three-pointers. They set a new record every year. Threes are at an all-time high. It's become a guards game. Big guys don't matter anymore. And yet Jokic just won the MVP, becoming the first center to do so in 21 years. And Joel Embiid, another one, finished right behind him second in voting. It's such a guards game. The NBA is so three-point heavy, all of basketball these days. So that if you can dominate inside, you can have success because there is no one else like you. There is no one there to stop you. Anthony Davis, DeAndre Ayton, the good big guys are really good. You're not going up against, you know, go back 20 years ago, 25 years ago. And you had Ewing and Olajuwon and Shaq and David Robinson. You had a lot of good big guys. Nowadays, not as many. If you are really good as a forward, as a center, if you could do a little bit of everything, if you can play inside, you can have a lot of success. Jokic became the first center to win the award in 21 years. Before that, Giannis won the MVP the previous 2 years. He can't shoot. He had the lowest three-point percentage for an MVP in 16 years, and yet he won the MVP in back-to-back seasons. So in an era where it's all about guards and it's all about three-pointers, we've just had three straight MVPs in the NBA won by bigs who can't or don't shoot from the outside. Zig when everyone else is zagging. The NFL is all about big-arm quarterbacks. Throw it a bunch. Throw it around the field. Throw it downfield. Oh, look at Patrick Mahomes throwing it from these different arm angles. Who won the MVP 2 years ago? Lamar Jackson. The Ravens have had a lot of success with a quarterback who can't throw the football. Everyone else is throwing. Our quarterback's going to run. The Titans have had five straight winning seasons. They were in the NFC title, the AFC title game a couple years ago. They've done it with the ground game. And while all of these running backs are dual threat running backs, the Titans running back, Derrick Henry, can't catch the football. He's just a big bruiser. And it works. Do the opposite of everyone else. The Tampa Bay Rays in Major League Baseball made the World Series last year. They have the best record in baseball this year. Smallest payroll. They were the first to use the opener. Everyone else wants their starters to go seven innings. The Rays say, we're going to have our starter go one inning. Doing the opposite. Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau. In fact, really all the big names in golf over the years. Because golf has a history of being very elegant, not being refined. You have to be quiet. You have to wear a collared shirt. You can't use your cell phone, even just as somebody going to watch the event. Or if you golf at your local country club, right? Maybe you can't use your cell phone, or at least it's got to be on silent. But all the fan favorites in golf over the years kind of been the opposite of that. The brash, big personalities. John Daly was never a great golfer. But we love him because he's smoking cigarettes and slugging beers in his Zubaz pants. He's doing the opposite of everyone. Jack Nicklaus. That's why Phil Mickelson resonated with so many people. He's become a personality, and we can relate to him. Golf can be a little, you know, a little stuck up, a little stuffy. But it's the people that are a little more outgoing or show their personalities that we really cling to. Tiger Woods, and he lightened up in the last 10 years and has become more of a personality. And seems like he's even more popular now. People are rooting for him. And now you have Brooks and Bryson, who are kind of the opposite of most golfers. You don't know much about these golfers. You don't hear much. But Brooks and Bryson, they're big personalities. They're arrogant. They mash the ball off the tee. They're big workout guys. They're kind of the opposite of the rest of the sport. And they're two of the biggest names in the sport right now. With the pandemic, everyone was shutting down, closing their doors. Amazon was adding more services. They flourished. You couldn't go to the store, they would come to you. The restaurants that did well were the ones that started good takeout services. Right? The whole point of a restaurant is to go there, sit down, eat, get waited on, right? Have that service. And yet the most successful ones the past 15 months were doing the opposite. They were bringing the food to you. You eat it at your home. They'll make it. They'll bring it to you. You eat it there. No exchange. You're not coming to their restaurant and sitting down. You're eating at home, but it's still their food. They're still doing well. When everyone is zigging, you can have a lot of success zagging. You used to have to go to the store and rent a movie. Then Netflix said, we'll send it right to you. And then eventually they said, we'll stream it right on your TV. No longer do you have to get in your car, drive to Blockbuster, pick out a movie, right? Then you have to make sure you rewind it. Then you have to drive back and return it. No, we'll mail them to you. And then you just put it in the mailbox when you're done. Jokic just became the first center to win the MVP in 21 years, in an era where centers have never been more irrelevant. And yet, you have him winning the MVP, Embiid dropping 40 a night, Ayton and the Suns are up 2-0, Giannis can't shoot, the NBA is all about outside shooters, he just won the MVP back-to-back years, and the first to do so while shooting under 30% from beyond the arc in 18 years. If you can do the opposite of everyone else, you can have a lot of success. Clemson was kind of like this. Right? Everyone's about a factory. We always hear that about Alabama. It's a football factory. They're churning guys out. They're putting guys in the NFL every year. Clemson became a family. Everyone else is so concerned about leaving. Right? We want to get you here, move you on. We want to get you here, put you in the NFL. Coaches, we want you to come here, leave for a better job. College football, college sports kind of in general, it's about leaving. It's about a short stay. We don't want you here. I mean, we want you to come here, play well, but the ultimate goal, our sales pitch, is that, hey, you come play for us, 3 years, we'll put you in the NFL. You come play for us in basketball, 1 year, we'll put you in the NBA. Clemson was kind of the opposite. We want our coaches to stay. We want our players to stay. It's a family. They've built up an empire. For the forwards that are still playing a role in the NBA, they're really good. They're really tough to stop. Right? If you can do the opposite of what everyone else is doing, you can have a lot of success. I think back to that advice. If you're in a fun industry, be the serious one because everyone else is having fun. You can have success being serious. If you're in a serious industry, everyone's being serious. Have a little fun, right? Because everyone else is so serious, you could go a long way by having a little fun. That's appreciated. And in the NBA, everyone's shooting threes. It's all about guards. If you can still be a big guy that can play inside and do a bunch of different things, you can have a lot of success. In football, right? You don't just have to throw it all over the place. In golf, you don't have to be some little stuffy guy in your collared shirt, you know, asking for silence and please be quiet. Tuck your shirt in, please. Make sure your belt is on. No, none of that. Be a big personality. In baseball, right? The Tampa Bay Rays are doing it by doing the opposite. And Jokic just won the MVP award by kind of doing the opposite of the rest of the league. We'll wrap up the first hour when we come back. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, the most hated NBA players by state. Catch up with a member of the Charleston Battery at the top of the hour. But before we go here in hour number one, I saw this yesterday. I found this interesting. The most hated NBA player by state. Only six players show up amongst the 50 states. Number one, you could probably guess, is LeBron James. He was listed as the most hated player by 24 states. Second on the list is Kyrie Irving. Most hated player in 18 states, including North Carolina. Right? He played at Duke. LeBron James, by the way, for South Carolina. For this state, LeBron James was listed as the most hated player in South Carolina. Kyrie, though, has North Carolina. He's got Florida. And then you have, he's got all of the Northeast because of his stint with the Celtics, I'm sure. Now he plays for Brooklyn, but all of the Northeast hates Kyrie the most. And hate is a strong word, but hey, that's the word they used here for this. Then you have James Harden with three states, including Texas, probably because he never brought the Rockets a title and then, you know, forced his way out of town. Kevin Durant is on the list. He's got the West Coast. He's got California. I guess they're unhappy with how he left Golden State, or maybe you have Laker fans that are unhappy with him joining the Warriors. Russell Westbrook has just one state. Paul George has one state. And that's about it. Paul George somehow is the most hated player in Arizona, and Russell Westbrook is the most hated player in Pennsylvania, the same place that just dumped popcorn on his head. Most hated NBA players by state. LeBron James at 24 states, including South Carolina. We always like to compare him and Michael Jordan. It's not a fair comparison. There's social media now. LeBron's more into politics than Jordan ever was. But if you did this poll back then, Jordan would be the most beloved player in probably all 50 states. LeBron, the most hated in almost half the states. We'll catch up with a member of the Charleston Battery next. It's the More Midday Show on ESPN Radio.